Veterans Journal and State Guard News, May 1919. Copyright 1919 by State Guard Publishing Company. Subscription rates by mail, $1 per year. Per copy, 10 cents. 42 Church Street, New Haven. Page 11. Antis stand for good government, not against it. Mrs. Bulmer writes interest letter to Veterans Journal on aims of those opposed to suffrage. The following communication has been received. Editor of the Veterans Journal. Sir, the Connecticut State Association opposed to woman suffrage stands for good government more than against votes for women, and good government is found to prevail in many suffrage states more than in equal suffrage states. Take the result of the recent election in Chicago, where Big Bill Thompson has been reelected and where women have voted since 1913. The only thing Votes for Women has done for that city has been to keep the decent men and women away from the polls, thus increasing the indifferent vote, and to keep in power the political machine which controls the radical element. Doubtless, many socialists cast their votes for Thompson this year. Then, too, in New York State, when the women voted in 1918 for the first time, they elected two socialists to the General Assembly in Albany, both of whom voted last week against the bill to investigate Bolshevism in New York State. Seven socialistic aldermen were also elected to the New York City Board of Aldermen, one of whom, Beckerman by the name, from the 6th District, is quoted as saying the following in the New York Sun editorial of April 3, 1919. I regard the present Russian government as the highest form of democracy that the world has ever seen. In the Soviet government, no exploiter, no graft can exist. I am proud to be classified as a Bolshevist, one who favors that kind of government. This man lives in New York City and represents the East Side, where Dr. Simons, who recently returned from Russia, Petrograd, stated that Bolshevism originated. Still more proof that suffrage and socialism approves of Bolshevism is found as far back as April 1918, when the New York Woman's Peace Party, made up of suffragists and socialists, cabled the following to the Bolsheviks. Please express to the Bolsheviki government our firm belief in their courage, wisdom, and ultimate triumph. Be assured that we will use all our strength toward bringing about official recognition of the Bolsheviki government by our own. Some of us are wondering today if that is why President Wilson delays action in the great crisis now existing in Europe. Women have had equal suffrage in some parts of our country for 50 years, representing two generations, and yet, at their Golden Jubilee, which they recently held in St. Louis, the following topics had to be presented for discussion and action. What may women voters do to further the welfare of women in industry? Chairman, Mrs. Raymond Robbins. How may women conserve the welfare of the nation's children? How many women voters assist the movement toward improved social morality and social hygiene? The answer to the above is that the best laws for women in industry are in Massachusetts and other male suffrage states, that the worst waste of childhood is in Colorado, Illinois, and other equal suffrage states, that the lowest depths of morality exist in Chicago today, where minors are allowed to drink in dance halls and where immorality is rampant. With the above results accruing from Votes for Women, what reason have we to believe that women in politics will restrain the radical elements or in any way better our government? As far as one can see, the only sure results are increase in election expenses, as witness in New York, where it cost the state $2,500,000 extra to allow 515,000 women out of 2,400,000 eligibles to vote, and out of which 400,000 polled votes for Tammany and Socialist increase in taxes and immorality in an alarming way. Equal suffrage also stands for exploitation of women in politics, as is being evidenced every day, with the result that their votes do not elect men to whom they have promised to give their full support, nor does it defeat others whom they threaten to defeat. Mrs. Carrie Chapman Catt has been urging our national legislators to catch up with Russia and the other European countries which have enfranchised their women. If American women were so emancipated, they might have to perform the same kind of state duty as required of the Russian women, i.e., to act the part of nationalized propagator of the human race. Why should we American women be so forcibly lowered from the high pedestal upon which the American men have placed us in order to become emancipated? Evidently, the one hope we anti-suffragists have is the return of our brave boys from over there who have been eyewitness to the ravages of women, the brutalities to men, and who know what woman suffrage has produced in those European countries which have adopted it. These men will advise our own men what they will be stirring up by endorsing woman suffrage. And let us hope that our men will lay aside sentiment and gallantry long enough to weigh the pros and cons of woman suffrage before taking any action to emancipate their mothers, wives, sisters, or daughters, the great majority of whom do not want to vote. Signed, Mrs. Clarence B. Bulmer, State Chairman Press Committee, Antis, New Haven, Connecticut, April 3rd, 1919.